WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Two of the four Americans kidnapped in Mexico have been found dead, and two others are alive and back in the U.S. Reporter Chris Fox in Austin.
Mexican officials believe cartel members mistakenly identified the four Americans as Haitian smugglers as they drove into Matamoros from Brownsville, Texas, Friday for a medical procedure. They were kidnapped after a gunfight. Now, according to the governor of the state of Tamaulipas, Americo Villarreal, one of the surviving U.S. citizens, was wounded. The other is okay.
Mexican authorities say they have one person in custody. After back-to-back snowstorms, parts of California are now looking at heavy rain in the forecast and concerns about flooding. Nevada County emergency crews are working to clear roads and storm drains of snow and ice. KOVR-TV's Madison Keevy reports that some homes and businesses are without power.
The weight of snow on trees has toppled them into power lines. Many of the issues are tough to access due to snow and the size of some of the fallen trees. For businesses like Grass Valley Pasty Co., a few days without power meant they lost perishable ingredients and what would have been money to pay their employees. The reason they gave online for the delay, PG&E couldn't access the affected equipment.
There has been a few eye drop recalls over recent weeks, including one by the FDA for PharMedica USA. More from CBS's Matt Piper.
Recall notices are warning people that the product is non-sterile, meaning it may contain germs and bacteria. And that, says Mount Sinai, New York eye doctor Neha Sheikh, says can lead to even more problems.
It can actually go through your tear ducts into the nose or the mucosa or the rest of the part of the body, and that can lead to other type of infection.
Five people have been permanently blinded linked to recalled drops. Matt Piper, CBS News.
If your child is a high school athlete, a study shows the number of head and neck injuries is climbing. CBS's Steve Futterman with details.
Head and face injuries, which include concussions, are the most common. After that, ankle and knee injuries. While the overall number of injuries has decreased, head and neck injuries are going in the opposite direction, and the severity of injuries is also on the rise.
With security concerns over apps like TikTok, Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia is co-sponsoring legislation that would give the federal government the authority to tighten controls over companies that operate within hostile foreign countries and collect the personal data of Americans.
We need a more comprehensive approach to evaluating and mitigating these threats.
Republican Senator John Thune is also a co-sponsor. Oklahoma votes no on a recreational marijuana plan. It joins other conservative states that have rejected full legalization. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
My spaniel, Sailor, arrives each afternoon for his walk in the steep woods. And usually in the spring, we return with plenty of tales of spotted white-tailed deer and a stream-soaked coat of wet hair. Eden Pure Thunderstorm's air purifier that uses proven Oxy technology to the rescue. I plug the compact unit into the wall and let Sailor relax in the freshening air. And the unit comes with a 6-foot USB cord for when we travel. There are over 300,000 units already sold. There are no filters to buy over and over again. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack for whole home protection. You get 3 units for under $200 for the kitchen, the basement, the fireplace room, the mudroom, anywhere you need clean-smelling air. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in discount code John, J-O-H-N, to save $200. That's EdenPureDeals.com, discount code John. Shipping is free.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, March 8th. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse. The Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10:30 a.m. at the Highway Department in their conference room. The Wisconsin Rapids Wastewater Treatment Commission will meet at 1:30 p.m. Waterworks and Lighting Commission will hold their regular meeting at 2 p.m. in their conference room. The McMillan Memorial Library Finance Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room, followed by the Building and Grounds Committee meeting at 5 p.m. In Portage County, the Housing Authority Board of Commissioners meeting has been canceled. The Stevens Point Administrative Appeals Board will meet at 4 p.m. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee will meet from 9 to 11 a.m. The City of Adams Public Works meeting will be held from 5 to 6 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies overnight with lows around 23. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 39. Lows dip down to about 27. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. 4 to 8 inches of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Happy Tuesday, March 7th. I am Kristen Bry here with Jane Matinere to kick off a very beautiful day.
It is. It's a lovely day.
I didn't realize how much I needed the sun. It feels like it's been a while since we had, what is it? It's like almost 40 and actual sun shining.
It makes an enormous amount of difference.
And no wind, seemingly.
No, it's windy.
Is it?
It's a little, the wind
is. I got out of the car. I was like, I could maybe go for a long walk later
A walk is doable.
I try to do a long walk. I'm trying to do more walks. How are your walks going?
Yeah, not good.
Okay. Yeah. Same. I just recharged my iWatch and I set the goal of trying to hit 400 active calories. For context, when I was getting ready for my wedding, it was at 800.
Oh my gosh.
So if I can hit 4.
That would be good.
Oh, but yeah, it's been a slow winter in the gym. But maybe now that it's nice out, we'll actually get outside and get some exercise. All right. Well, coming up today, we actually have a lot of guests today, which is really exciting. So in the noon hour, so starting off at 12 o'clock, we are going to be talking to Chelsea Chandler and Paul Mathewson, who are both from Clean Wisconsin, on a new report that they put out January. That's still new.
Yeah.
Aptly titled Corn Ethanol versus Solar Land Use Comparison, which is a little very straight to the point. But basically what they found is that if we offset or swapped some of our, like, we have like a million acres of corn fields in Wisconsin.
Right.
A lot of which goes to ethanol. If we just used even a fraction of that towards solar, it would actually be much more energy efficient. So they're going to come and talk more about that and kind of the differences between ethanol energy and solar energy and how farmers could still make money and yada, 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 all that. And then at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Tanya Atkinson, who is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, and Dr. Schaefer, who is a urologist at Planned Parenthood. Because we talked about this when they first launched it last month, but now, because of the increasing popularity of the procedure, Planned Parenthood offers vasectomies. And we thought we'd, debunk some misconceptions.
Superstitions.
Some myths. Maybe quell some of your fears for the men out there who are on the fence of whether or not they think this would be for them. And just kind of talk about the things that, all the things that I like talking about that make other people uncomfortable, but are like actual anatomy.
Well, it is a body. Yes,
it is.
It is a body.
It is a body. Yeah. And then in this hour, we're going to be joined by Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. He just wrapped up his show, but on the Civic Media Network. But he is going to join us. Because you, Jane, thought your first reaction to Janet Protasiewicz only agreeing to do one debate was that it's not a good look.
It's a mistake.
And so I think he disagrees with you. So I think we're going to have a discussion as far as what role do debates still play in elections?
I mean, do we actually learn anything new?
Exactly.
Is that's the question?
Well, yeah. And so that's coming up at 11:30. But to start, I was going to talk about this yesterday, then too many competing stories. But let me start with an anecdote. So my father-in-law lives in Muskego. My father-in-law and mother-in-law. And they love Muskego. He's lived there almost his entire life. And the running joke in our family, that family thread between my husband, Mike, his two sisters, his sister's husband, is whenever anything goes wrong in Milwaukee, my father-in-law goes, you know where that doesn't happen? Muskego.
Okay.
Whether it's crime or reckless driving, right, or even as silly as like snow. When it snows in Milwaukee and it doesn't snow in Muskego. So it's a joke. But I've made it very clear, I have no interest in living in Muskego. I'm sure it's lovely when
it is.
We go
it's
there. I am a city girl. I like more dense environments. I also like diversity. Like very plainly stated, I want my kids to go to diverse schools. I like being around people who are not necessarily like me. I think it's an enriching experience to be able to not, like, I just don't, I think homogeneity is
kind of boring,
inferior to diversity. And then you hear a story like this and you're like, see? Because over the weekend, Beloit High School boys basketball played at Muskego High School. And quote for this is that one of the headlines that's been put out since: disturbing racist speech images reported at Muskego High School basketball game. And it doesn't sound good.
No, it's not.
So Muskego Norway Schools and Muskego Police are investigating claims that Muskego High School students organized a racist theme within their student section and drew racial slurs and images into the dust of the visiting team's locker room before a basketball game against Beloit Memorial High School. So Muskego High School was notified of the alleged racism by Beloit Memorial's athletic director after the playoff game on March 3rd. And the Beloit basketball players said that the N-word and swastikas were traced into the dust into the guest team's locker room. And, you know, potentially there is an argument that maybe it was there before they were going to play Beloit. I don't know how they're going to prove that or disprove that. But the thing, because this happens, I feel like this happens once a year at some school, where someone makes the decision that it's appropriate to dress in a certain way and go to the game, and then those kids are allowed to go into the game. Because there was, and you can see video of it, there's a whole slew of kids who wore tank tops and ski masks.
Ski masks?
I don't know.
What theme was that?
A thug theme.
Nice.
And there was parents who reported that they also heard racist remarks coming from the student section during the game, including monkey noises. And it's so, and so now there's an investigation. But a reminder that Muskego's minority enrollment is 11%, with less than 1% of students in Muskego's school district. This is the whole district, not even just the high school, that's Black. And in Beloit, it's around, the minorities are over 60%, with 21% being Black. So it's a much more diverse part of the city and the state.
Right.
And what's unfortunate, maybe not surprising, but unfortunate, is that from this incident, this is from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there's been people going on social media who are people of color who went to Muskego who are saying, yeah, nothing's changed.
It was like this when I was there.
I was bullied. I had racial slurs said to me while I was going to that school, and the administration did nothing.
We have Ann on the line who wants to check in on this. What do you want to say, Ann?
Sure. So thanks for having me on, Kristen.
Hi, Ann.
So Hi, Kristen. So I am a Muskego parent, Muskego resident. So I just want to first extend a sincere apology to the entire Beloit community on behalf of people in Muskego, like Kristen, who believe in diversity and inclusivity. So that, I mean, without caveats or explainers, what happened was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's important, and Kristen I know sees this, that this is a symptom of a larger issue. And in Muskego specifically, a larger systemic culture issue in our district and in our community, which is evident by the fact that this isn't the first time that Kristen and I have talked on her show. Yeah. So what we're talking about here is a system that still uses discriminatory iconography in their sports programming. We could start there, right? They use a slogan, "Fear the Spear," for crying out loud. I mean, this is not the beacon of inclusivity and diversity here in Muskego. So I just want to say we have micro and macro issues, right? Microaggressions and plenty of instances of sort of racial discrimination. But the culture here starts at the top. So we have a school board that consistently and without fail continues to push discriminatory policies. This is the same school board that blocked the teaching of Julio Tsukas when the emperor was divine. This is the same school board that just passed a so-called pronoun policy requiring parental permission for our trans and non-binary students, and multiple board members who ran on anti-critical race theory platforms. And I think this is the administration that has refused to take a stand against any of this. So importantly, these are the very real consequences of the culture that has been allowed to fester here without meaningful pushback.
And I just want to clarify that that book that you mentioned is about the Japanese internment camps, correct?
Correct. And so that just happened last May. The pronoun policy was just passed in January. And so I think, and I know, the district has a clear legal obligation here to plan for meaningful change if they're aware that there's a pervasive problem.
And go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead.
We only have about a minute, but I just wanted to ask, like, what? Because that was going to be my next question: is what having like an assembly, having like one assembly talking about racism one afternoon isn't going to solve this, and so. Where is the conversation as far as depending on what the investigation finds? But if the investigation finds what the videos show,
right,
what happens?
Well, so that's my question. And I talked to the superintendent yesterday, and my questions are, where is the system change going to be? What are our long-term plans, right, beyond the kinds of consequences for these specific students? How are we going to ensure that this doesn't happen again and that they don't have any answers?
They don't?
No.
Great.
Not at this point, because there is no plan to create systemic change in this community.
Anne, thank you so much for the call. Feel free to call. We're going to keep talking about this on the other side of the break. If you have feelings, thoughts about this, or something similar that's happening in your school district, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now.
What happens when your daddy issues move in? You get Unprisoned, the all-new Hulu original series, Unprisoned, starring Kerry Washington and Delroy Lindo. Imagine you're a single working mother who's dating and even about to buy a new house. Life is pretty good until your dad comes back to live with you after 17 years of being in prison. This could be a second chance to make it right, right? Think you've got daddy issues? Well, hers are here to stay. Unprisoned, starring Kerry Washington and Delroy Lindo, premieres Friday, March 10th, streaming only on Hulu.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
To As Goes Wisconsin, I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are taking any thoughts you might have or reflections you have on your own community, because I don't think this is
particular to Muskego.
I don't think it's particular. This an instance of what happened over the weekend at this basketball game, obviously, is unique. But I feel like once a year, there's one of these stories where students think it's a good idea to dress a certain way or chant a certain thing and
show up for high school graduation photos.
Yes. And then there is a conversation around what the ramifications should be. But as Ann said in the previous, when she, the caller who lives in Muskego, who's a parent there, is that that's a Band-Aid and reactionary. And this is why diversity and inclusion is important to teach in schools. And we're not talking about CRT as an academic level. We're talking about what it's to actually teach empathy and understanding instead of banning books on Japanese internment camps. Like, what is the pressing priority here? You said we had a text?
We do.
Okay.
844-967-2789. Anytime you want to share a comment or give us a call. This from the 262, because we had mentioned that a lot of the students in the student section at this game were wearing sleeveless t-shirts, which we used to call wife beaters, and ski masks. And the texter from the 262 says ski masks are a Proud Boys thing.
No, really?
I did not know that.
I have to say, I don't know a ton about the Proud Boys. Not done a lot of research into what their symbolism and typical attire tends to be. But I just, even if it's as simple as shaming people into, this is like, because it's one thing to really get to the core of someone's belief system, to get them to understand you can't act like this. You can't make monkey noises at black athletes. It's another thing to at least, even if they want to do it, shame them so much that they don't.
And I think there is a large segment of our population who no longer feels any shame.
I know.
It just doesn't, instead of being shamed, it is accepted now as a badge of honor.
Yeah. And the idea, well, and we didn't because Ann had called, but this was some of the, as far as this being not necessarily an isolated incident, and it going higher than just some kids. And it makes me think of when we go back to what happened in Kiel, Wisconsin last year, that the initial story that was released and peddled around to right-wing media was, oh, these eighth grade boys used the wrong pronoun and now there's a Title IX investigation. When in fact, the kid had been bullied and food had been thrown at him, and they had pushed them around, and that part of the story didn't happen, and the administration hadn't done anything. And then you dug a little bit deeper, and the year prior to that, a black student had been harassed so much that he felt not welcome in his own high school. And so going back to Muskego, this was from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There was one quote of someone who posted on social media. Since I was a student from 2013 to 2017, the administration has never given an F about the minority students, and clearly nothing has changed. You'd think by 2023, they'd educate their students rather than feed into the BS. Then a different former student wrote, nothing was done when I was being continuously harassed and called racial slurs in the hallways to class every morning, says a 2016 MHS graduate who asked to remain anonymous. And so it's like, this is the issue you need to be talking about at your school board meetings. Not pronouns, not banning books.
Right.
Because those are problems in search of solutions in search of a problem versus an obvious problem that is sitting right in front of you right now. And yet, apparently, anecdotally, from one parent trying to talk to the superintendent, no plan. No plan to deal with it. No plan to address it. Just a statement, a blanket statement released. They're looking into it. And the news cycle will move on. And then what? And this is what we're talking about, right?
We have Dave on the line from the Shaw who wants to check in on this. Dave, what do you want to say?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to share. I grew up in a place just like, kind of like what the last caller was talking about in Muskego. So I grew up in Kentucky in a very homogenous, kind of that middle class to upper class neighborhood. And I think it was really easy, looking in retrospect, to see, like, it's easy to fall into the trap of racism and not know. It's almost like an ignorance, right? The fact that I didn't know it was racism at the time. And once I left Kentucky and I went and saw the world a bit and lived in Baltimore and the inner city there and befriended people who didn't look like me or talk like me or act like me, like, it wasn't until that point that I realized, like, the harm that maybe my actions had caused. And so it's really tough for cultural change. And I empathize with the parents, like the last caller, who are trying to make a difference in the world and hold especially elected leaders accountable.
Absolutely. That's really interesting perspective, Dave. Thanks so much for calling. Because I think that's part, I mean, this is why I go back to, if you don't have integrated schools, if you don't actually have diversity because of the nature of how people, where people live and how schools and districts and it, overall, Wisconsin's very like predominantly white outside right. of certain pockets. But this is why having diversity and inclusion classes, teaching accurate history is that much more important. So even for the kids who don't necessarily leave their hometown like Dave did and have other experiences and get exposed to different types of people, still have a chance to not just live in their bubble and kind of just be ignorant to this is okay. Groupthink. This is fine. How's that for a ticked off tee off?
That was a good start.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about candidate debates, whether they're moot at this point. Todd Alba will be here. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. State Department spokesman Ned Price with the latest on the four Americans who were met with gunfire and kidnapped in northern Mexico on Friday.
Two U.S. citizens were returned to the United States. The bodies of two.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR. Wisconsin Rapids.
When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things, even committed some crimes, but I am not a criminal.
Youth Advocate Programs is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. Learn how at yapinc.org.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $100 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Kids and parents gathered at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center in Wisconsin Rapids for the Paint with the Police event. Wood County Sheriff's Department officers painted with the kids in full uniform and had live musical entertainment. These young kids were able to interact with officers and get to know them as real people who serve and protect our city. The race for Wisconsin Supreme Court is already the most expensive in U.S. history, at close to $19 million and counting. That includes the money raised by the campaigns themselves and outside groups.
It's the world that we live in, quite frankly. Ever since the Citizens United case, you know, was decided by the United States Supreme Court, you know, outside money can come into these races.
That's Janet Protasewicz, recently on Capital City Sunday. Her opponent, Dan Kelly, says money gets the candidate's message out. In sports, the Badgers beat Minnesota last night. The Bucks beat Washington. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies overnight with the lows around 23. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 39. Lows dip down to about 27. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. 4 to 8 inches of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
The Gomer Pyle Show with Todd Alble.
Exactly.
Just to join you two, I mean, how could I not be good? This is the highlight of my day.
It's been, have you jumped? No, you've jumped on once between the first time we had you on before you basically even started your show last fall.
Right.
We met on air. We met on air. And then I think you've jumped on once since then. But, you know, trying to do a little crossover for everyone's show. You're on 8 to 11 before us on WRCE, WXCO. What else am I missing? Amory.
WLAK.
And so I listen to you. I switch between you and Earl in the morning. in between getting ready for the show. So check out Todd's show if you're on the Civic Media app between 8 and 11. But I texted you last. Well, I'll set this up. So Jane and I, you know, we text at night after the show as news comes out post 2 p.m. Things that we could potentially talk about tomorrow. Kind of always wondering what's the lead story going to be to do the ticked off tee off. And I had missed it, but basically, I think tweets had been starting to go around because I hadn't heard it before yesterday, but that Judge Janet Protasiewicz, liberal candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, has basically only agreed and will only agree to one debate prior to April 4th. Whereas Dan Kelly's campaign has said he's ready for any and all forums and debates. And Jane, what did you think?
Well, I texted her last night, Todd, and I said, this is a mistake. I think it's a mistake.
She said it's a bad look. And
now, see, look, this is totally unfair because I love Jane to death, and you're putting me at odds. like it's some sort of a, I mean, I'm already at odds. People, I was on a Luke Mathers show, Dueling Tangents, yesterday, filling in for Brian Kelly, and he asked, how do we determine which stations I'm on and which stations Earl is on? And I said, it's simple. We arm wrestle for it. And Earl has beat me out time and time again on, you know, getting Green Bay and us. And now you're putting me, you know, at odds with the wonderful Jane Matinere, which, you know, is tough.
It's not odds. It's just a difference of opinion.
Exactly. And I would love to know, because I think that they're going to use this to run ads saying she's running away because she's afraid to defend her own record and blah, blah, blah. And the smears that they're, I just think this just gives them an opening to do that kind of stuff. And that's why I think it's an error.
I believe that you're correct in saying, as far as for good civics, like for good government, for open government, yes, it's not great because ideally you want candidates to have as many debates so people, the voters, can understand who they're voting for. Just as somebody who, you know, was on the other side of the aisle for a long time in Republican politics and ran a lot of campaigns over the years, I think she's doing the exact right thing from a political standpoint because clearly, well, I shouldn't say clearly, but based on the information I have, she is up in the polling. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that last week, the Terrence Group, a Republican Party polling firm, which I have used in the past, incidentally, they're actually very good. But my sister got the poll, and she's a very savvy poll taker. And so she reported all this to me. They were doing push polling. And for those who might not know, it's when they say, if you knew that Judge Janet did such and such and such and such, would you still be likely to vote for her? So they're trying to influence and finding out what messaging works. So they were, and now WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, announced this morning they're putting over $1 million into the race for Dan Kelly. So they're in the field. They know these things. So my opinion is that if Judge Janet agrees to more debates, she's already ahead of the polling. There's only so much you can say as a judge. It's not like a legislative race where you can get it deep into issues. You know, already Judge Janet's been attacked by the Kelly side for going too far in, say, in their opinion, of saying that the truth, that the maps, the gerrymander maps are rigged. It's the truth. She's come out and said, hey, I believe in supporting women's health, which essentially means that she would probably, if the case came before her, depending upon how it was argued, could very well vote to overturn the archaic abortion laws in the state that don't even allow women to get abortions in cases of rape or incest right now. So they're already attacking her on that. I'm not sure what she has to gain by subjecting herself, because Kelly has nothing, right? So he's just going to spend an hour harping on these things, trying to paint her as, you know, a radical abortion person. Basically, they're going to try to paint Judge Shannon as, hey, we got a setup tent in the Lambeau Field parking lot, have an abortion before you go into the Packers game. I mean, really? I mean, that's the kind of crap they're going to put out there, all right? And then they're going to paint her as, she let somebody off the hook on a sexual assault charge. You know, Judge Janet is going to endanger all your children with sexual perverts on the street. This is the kind of stuff they're going to do, you guys. And then they're going to say, if you elect Judge Janet, she's going to vote to take away all your guns, because they were also testing the polling on that. So I don't know if you're Judge Janet or her campaign, which all that stuff I just said is a bunch of crap. It's not true. But they're going to put millions of dollars out there. And if you stand before Kelly for an hour, he's going to harp on this stuff for an hour. Because they got nothing.
But doesn't that give the other side then the opportunity to do the same thing and bring up all of the things that he's blogged about in the past, which now have miraculously disappeared from the web? It's like, whoosh, where did that go?
I was going to say, I was like, well, it's not that he has nothing. He clearly has a 5-star SAT vocabulary for sexual libertinism.
Isn't that what campaigns do, though, Todd? You sit down and it's like, what's the worst stuff and how can we craft this to decimate our opponent? That's what it's about.
I think for me, because I would say my instinctual reaction was similar to Jane's, because similar to what you said, Todd, in a perfect world, because this happened in the fall, right? Nationally, all of the major campaigns, most of them only had one or two debates. Senate campaign here, 2 debates. Governor's campaign, 1 debate. And then same thing. I mean, Hobbs never debated against who's the crazy lady from Arizona?
Carrie Lake.
Thank you. See, she's that far in my back of my memory at this point.
Boing.
So, like, it's a trend in general that there's less debates, which I do think is a bad thing, because naturally a debate stage is an opportunity to have the candidates have less control, right? They have less control over what happens. And at the same time, we complain about, oh, there's not enough debates, there's only one debate, blah, blah, blah. And then the debate actually happens. And the next day, all of us who work in political punditry get on air and was like, well, what did we learn? Nothing.
Nothing,
right? We like, what did they say? They stuck to message. They didn't answer the actual questions. Both sides claim they won. And who cares? And so that's my point, I think, looking at this is like, yes, it's a talking point for the Kelly campaign. And of course, on Twitter right now, it's flooded with, well, they're just going to cheat anyways. They have all the voters and all the votes lined up and they're going to dump them at midnight and blah, blah, blah. But as far as in real civics, in real knowledge that could be gained from them debating more than once, I'm not convinced anymore that that actually does anything.
But you brought those good points of the Arizona race, and those are legislative, right? Either it's for state Senate or Congress or governor. Those are debates where you can get into and ask candidates specific, policy questions. What would you introduce? How would you vote? Remember, in a judicial race, traditionally, candidates for Supreme Court, and we're one of the few states in America that elects our state Supreme Court instead of the governor appointing and confirmed by the Senate. So, judicial candidates have traditionally been reticent to get very far. Usually you ask them a question about abortion, they would say, well, I can't go into that because I don't want to, not perjure, but endanger myself if this case comes before me. So I really can't answer. That's what a lot of support.
Or they just say, I believe in precedent. Isn't that what all three Trump appointees said?
Right. I would apply the law fairly. I would not be an activist judge. I mean, you literally gain nothing. Mm-hmm. And I take my hat off to Judge Janet because, I mean, hey, I don't mean to say that some of this is a negative comment, but Judge Janet has kind of taken a page out of the Trump playbook. Trump changed everything in politics in America. You threw out the rules. So I think to a degree, Judge Janet's like, I'm not just going to be a wishy-washy candidate and say I don't have an opinion. She actually was brave enough to tell the truth and let us know, let voters know where she kind of stood on some of these positions. That is not something that is usually done in a Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. So she's already gone further than most judicial candidates for Supreme Court in Wisconsin. I don't think her team or her wants to endanger herself by getting up in front and having to go down this road. And also, she's up in the polls, probably by all numbers. She's already ahead. 4 weeks out, if you're running a race and you're already ahead, it's about maintaining that lead and not exposing yourself or your candidate to make those numbers go bad.
We're talking.
I think it's a political move.
No, but that's the thing. It's a political move. We're talking to Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show, and we're debating whether debates are worth having when it comes to, I guess, really any election, but more specifically judicial elections, because it is a unique situation where, and we've talked about this before, we're one of what, 13 states that elects our Supreme Court justices, and most other places, it's appointments. There's probably an argument on both sides of why one's a good thing and one's a bad thing. But I still maintain that most of us who don't live in the legal world, it's hard for us to have the knowledge base to understand what makes a good judge. Like, I've never been in front of a judge, if I'm being totally honest, like, because I've never been arrested. Put that on my tombstone.
She's never been caught.
Fair.
I once went before a judge in small claims court on a speeding ticket in college, and he agreed that it was a speed trap, and then he charged me the fees for the court fees. I ended up paying more than the ticket was actually going to be. So I was not successful in front of a judge.
But you know what I mean? Because I think that goes back to what you were saying as far as what Judge Janet is doing, which is, as far as politics go, is smart. She is appealing to the issues that people are fired up about right now in Wisconsin. One is abortion, one being fair maps for the people, because the people who understand fair maps really care about fair maps.
And they get it.
And myself being one of them. Right. And so to appeal on those issues is much more like a political, like legislative campaign than a judicial one. And instead, I was just reading, I think this was in Wisconsin State Journal this morning, as far as the gamble Dan Kelly is playing with his campaign, and keeps talking about how he's a constitutional conservative. And for most people, it's like, what does that mean? Like,
only to his base, right?
Sure. But even like, is it the Wisconsin Constitution? The U.S. Constitution? Like, I don't know. I know some things. What I know about the Wisconsin Constitution is that we don't have binding referendums. You know what I mean?
For a Republican side, usually what that is lingo for means that, I'm going to apply the law. I'm not going to be an activist judge. I'm not going to take over the legislative role. I'll be a conservative constitutionalist. I'll apply the law the way it's written until it doesn't agree with what they actually stand for.
But
and
isn't
then
that
they flip around.
Isn't that what Brian Hagedorn is? And then they were so upset with him when he didn't rule in their favor?
Exactly. You got 100% right, Kristen. He was a constitutional conservative, and then all of a sudden he actually applied the law like he said he was going to do and said, no, Donald Trump lost the election, and now they're up in arms. They want to recall it.
Dan Kelly can't trust Brian Hagedorn. I won't endorse Jennifer Toro.
And by the way, Jane is 100% right, Jane. You're right. They're going to attack, Judge Janet for not having more debates. I agree with that. I just think they've calculated and said that message doesn't have the same traction as exposure to issues that they don't want to get into. I think that's just what it comes down to.
All right.
And I'm sorry.
Jane, are you convinced?
We can agree to disagree.
There you go.
I do understand Todd's point, though. I really do. I really do. I just hope that we don't get comfy with that lead in the polls. That makes me twitchy.
That, I agree that 100%. Makes me twitchy. Yeah. I think that they should have done more inoculation ads for Judge Janet earlier. So yeah. I don't know.
28 days away, 4 weeks from today, April 4th. Go vote. Todd Alba, thank you for joining us.
You guys are fantastic.
You're fantastic. We'll talk to you later. All right. When we come back, some news Wisconsin can be proud of. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Election time. You vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pigmy Mark for president. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge.
Hey, Wisconsin. The spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. you stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit savebythescan.org. It could save your life. Savebythescan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to PVA.org to learn how you can make a difference.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And that was a rap song about crochet.
It was. You can find anything you're looking for.
Just the creative aptitude of the internet and those who contribute to it is unmatched.
It's a constant joy.
It's unmatched. You said we had some feedback?
We did. We were talking about Judge Janet Protasiewicz's decision not to engage in what the more than one debate with Dan Kelly. And I think that's a mistake. Our friend Todd Alba thinks it's wise. Texter from the 608 says, I think Janet is being too cute by only doing one debate. It feels like coasting, like what Neubauer did versus Hagedorn. Janet has the edge on the issues, so get out there and show the good things that will happen if she gets elected, i.e. the end of the abortion ban, unrigging the maps, and point out Kelly will allow a lot of Wisconsinites to get screwed over.
And yeah, and the one thing I read is just the intense schedule. Because this is a short... From primary to general, it's 6 weeks. It was 6 weeks. We're 4 weeks as of today.
Yep.
And the amount of events you're trying to do versus... I mean, ultimately, as a campaign, it comes down to a cost-benefit analysis with all of this stuff, I imagine, as far as what...
What's worth it.
What's worth it. Yeah. What's worth doing where you think you're going to get to meet more people, get your message out better. And I agree with you that I think it's, but it, yeah, I don't know. Because it's also like, do debates ever change anyone's mind?
Well, and that's a good point. Texter from the 414 brings up, having a debate is good news and is all that's needed. I think the only people that follow debates today are political junkies. Because real hardworking people have a life to live and don't have much time for debates. The days of debates having so much importance, unfortunately, went the way of the daily printed newspaper.
Yeah, like I...
That's a good point.
It's a great point. And I feel like even think about the time slot. So the one debate that they are doing is at 12:45 in the afternoon on a weekday.
Are you kidding?
On March 21st. And then what? They're re-airing it at like 4 p.m.
It's not going to be a 7 o'clock?
It's not... Even the debates last fall, the two Senate debates between Johnson and Mandela, and then the Michaels versus Evers, they were like 7 p.m. on a Friday?
Yeah.
You know, people, like, at that point, people are at Friday Night Light football, right? Like, people are not...
They're out to dinner. They're getting
they're not
fish
at
right.
home like us. Like, I gotta talk about this on Monday, yeah. So let's watch.
A sad, pathetic people.
So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I think... I agree with you as far as you can't stop pushing.
Don't get too comfy.
But I also just feel like we're going to talk about this more tomorrow with Greg. He's just an awful candidate. And I don't mean because I don't, like, politically I don't agree with him. And it's just like the mounting information about, like, the blog stuff and the fact that he worked with Wisconsin Right to Life, and the fact that he worked with the Republican. Like, there's a lot of stuff there. And then we're going to talk about this article tomorrow, but there's an op-ed in Wisconsin State Journal about basically how he's just a bad legal mind.
Oh, that is an unbelievable piece.
And how even other conservative justices, while he was on the Supreme Court, were basically, like, writing, like dissenting opinions, even if they voted, like, even if they ruled in the same way, they wrote a dissenting opinion because they're like, I got to this opinion in a different manner than whatever argument he just tried to make. Like, I need to separate myself from him.
There are some pretty tasty adjectives describing him in that article and his style, which I think will be fun to kick around tomorrow with Greg.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes those articles, we wait for Greg's
take.
Pointed point of view to talk about. So that'll be tomorrow. But for now, I wanted to end the hour on two stories that we can be proud of and on a high note. The first one being, coming out of Keewaskum, Wisconsin.
Very cool.
Speed skater Jordan Stoltz becomes the first male world champion in three events. Not the first American, the first male ever to win three events in speed skating.
The first male in history.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
And I love, obviously all the Wisconsin coverage came out yesterday because proud, you know, we're proud of our Wisconsin native. But the NBC Sports, like Olympic talk write up of this, the headline there was Jordan Stoltz arrives with three golds at speed skating worlds, leaving the Dutch in disbelief. I was like, why specific? I guess maybe it was in the Netherlands, but it was, or maybe the Dutch are like uniquely, usually very good at speed skating.
Well, it's the whole, sure.
Sure. But
skating on the canals thing.
So, and he's only 18.
Wow.
He's a baby.
Wow. That's awesome.
But he, so Stoltz already labeled wonderkind. And then this is a Dutch word, I'm guessing, straaljager, which means jet fighter.
Straaljager.
By Dutch reporters. Congratulations, Jordan.
Well done.
That's awesome.
Yes, well done.
And then the other story, I'm a little late to this one.
I love this so much.
But what do you think it takes to be called a crochet prodigy?
And I used to crochet, and I was not a prodigy.
This is a young man, Jonah Larson, has gone viral because of his crocheting, and he's now made his second blanket for Giannis and Mariah for their kids. It's a crocheted little blanket. But he's only 15 years old, and he lives in La Crosse. And Antetokounmpo is his idol. And in 2021, he gave him a blanket for his son, Liam. And then I think 2 weekends ago, with the help of a lot of Twitter followers.
I bet.
And Michael Strahan was also involved.
Really?
But he was able to make sure that Giannis's second son, Maverick, also got a blanket of his own.
That is adorable.
It's so adorable.
And he's like a speed crocheter.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Is that, because to me, prodigy, like, is it that it's fast? Or is it speed or accuracy?
Well, at least in my world, crocheting was a lot more forgiving than knitting. Because with knitting, the tightness of the stitches will determine whether or not something is perfectly square or however you want it to be, which is why I always preferred crocheting, which seemed to me be a little bit more forgiving. Although the baby blankets that I made were always not quite square.
Not quite square?
Square-ish.
But were they warm?
They were warm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
I'm watching this video now of him crocheting, and he is very fast.
Oh yeah, it's incredible.
He's got very dexterous little fingers.
We're gonna put a link to this on our
show notes. And so he's a superstar in the crocheting community.
Yay!
You know, this is so it's just stories like that every once in a while that we just have to remind ourselves that there's still good things happening. It's good things happening in the state, all across the state. And so with that, we wrap up our 11 o'clock newsy hour. When we come back, we will be talking to two people from Clean Wisconsin about the new report that they did published in January about solar versus ethanol. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Heat, power, and water are things people cannot take for granted. The elderly, disabled, the veterans. With record increases in basic costs of living, people are struggling to keep these services.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.